Chapter 22. He taught me compassion. Ezekiel 3:15-16. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Aviv, that dwelt by the river of Chebar. I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me. Although God wanted Ezekiel to suffer and be identified with all the pains, sorrows of the bitter captivity of the Israelitish nation in Babylon, God certainly did not want Ezekiel identified with the idolatries, the rebel unbelief, and the shameful immorality of the children of Israel. However, the Lord wanted Ezekiel identified with their suffering, that he could minister to them in compassion and understanding. Because Israel, after all, even in their captivity, were God's chosen people, his sons of light in the midst of pagan darkness. Even in that pagan nation of Babylon, they still were called to be a separated people and worship Jehovah, the one and true God. Today, many of God's people are enslaved in their sin and their minds subjugated by worldly philosophies and mores. Meditations and reflections of godliness, holiness, and purity are prohibited by their slave masters, the god of this world. The prince of darkness would replace all godly thoughts and desires in his captives with longings for the delights of the flesh, the pressures of lust, and the drives of earthly ambition. Ezekiel was to join and identify with the captives of Babylon, but not to join with them in their moral and spiritual slavery. Many who are called to be followers of Christ, inside church as well as outside church, are under the control and dominion of the rulers of the kingdom of darkness, far more than they realize that they are. Captivity of religion. There is another captivity that Ezekiel was not to be identified with, and that is the captivity of religion, the hypocritical perversion of true religion. The Pharisees, for example, were in the chains of religious captivity. How terrible it is when people have their minds deceived and captured by false religion, even if those religions use the very name of Christ in their religious ceremonies. About 400 years ago in England, the mighty prophet of God, George Fox, was shown by the Spirit of God how that many of the priests and the clergy of the churches of his day were speaking the words of Christ from their lips, but he saw serpents in their hearts that were really doing the talking. This later proved to be true, as all those ministers became vicious persecutors of the true people of God. They violently persecuted the Quaker movement without mercy, and George Fox said to his followers, "Look, observe their hatred and vicious persecution. That is the fruit that proves the perversion that is really in their hearts." God sent George Fox to lift up his voice in the streets and cry out against such hypocritical religious sham. He would go into a steeple house, that is what they commonly called a church in his day, and quoting scripture, he would speak out boldly against their false religious ministries that made the people furious, and he would answer their fury by saying, "Well, look now, your fury against the word of God proves your evil, because your fury is your fruit against truth." At times, some would try to defy him, and he would say, "Show me by the scriptures why I am wrong." Many times, the priests and clergy would run out of the church building because they knew he was right in the scriptures, and they dared not and could not refute him. God had made him a watchman. Ezekiel was made to join the captivity of his fellows in their humanity, but not to join the captivity of the idolatrous religion that those Jews practiced along with their pagan captors. It is sad but true that if one of the fellows of a society does not join in the common and accepted form of worship of that people, He will soon hear from the persecutors. A nonconformist will definitely not be popular, and if he also worships the true God in spirit and truth, he will be attacked, hated, and feared. Ezekiel waited. Ezekiel sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days, astonished at their idolatrous practices, their spiritual blindness, their grievous miseries in slavery that their unbelief in Jehovah had brought upon them. He was astonished also at the spiritual darkness he found amongst the people, especially after having visited the ineffable light of the heavenly realm and the glory of the throne of God in his vision. 7 days he sat in astonished silence, 7 the number of completion. It took the prophet that long for him to realize the depth of idolatry into which his people had fallen, the spiritual errors and fallacious concept concerning Jehovah, and their anger and blame against Jehovah for allowing their miseries to come upon him. Ezekiel was waiting for the Spirit of God to guide him into what he should do next. He was too wise to go and try to fix the situation by his own power or wisdom. He waited 7 days. In the Songs of Solomon, the first word picture of the bride is of a steed in Pharaoh's chariot. It is well known that a horse that is going to make up the team in the king's chariot will be one of the finest, most vigorous animals that can be found, beautiful, young, and filled with energy, nervously prancing in its steps and not still a minute. However, if a horse is destined to be in the Pharaoh's chariot, it must be thoroughly trained and disciplined. It is not going to move out of its place until it is given orders, lest it endangers the life of the king. It will stand there and chomp and tremble and prance, even if for an hour or more. Nevertheless, it will stay in its place while the sweaty foam drops from its sides, but it will not move a step forward or backward. Then, let the word of action find its ears, and it will leap forward in the instant. That steed has learned to wait on its master. Elijah was deeply concerned for idolatrous Israel. He realized that only a revival of God's grace could save that nation, and for that revival he was praying and seeking God. He waited in the desert 2 long, lonely years by the brook Cherith, but still no orders came. Then he spent 1 year with a Zidonian widow being sustained by divine intervention. And then one day, without any prior notice of God's intention, the word of the Lord came to him and released within him all the pent-up desires for action, and Elijah began the famous journey to Mount Carmel. God took 3 years to prepare his prophet for but one day of stupendous activity on Carmel. But what a mighty day it was! An indelible manifestation of the power of God over powerless Baal. Following which came a most welcome deluge of rain on the parched earth. The very word Carmel means fruit or fruitful. It took Elijah 3 years to prepare for one day. A ratio ministers would very much like to reverse, such as, prepare one day, then work mighty works for 3 years. Ezekiel waited and sat in astonishment. He knew he had the empowering and the capacity. He knew God was with him. But not a word came for the people. He just sat there 7 days until finally the word of God came. And the first thing the word of God told him was to be sure that when he spoke, he said the right things. God said that he was to warn them, not berate or castigate, but warn them. It is difficult for our ministry to give a good, clear warning of coming judgment and remain in the compassion and love of God. It is easy to berate, scold, or condemn a flock of erring sheep, but that is not what God told Ezekiel to do. Warn them, God said. Waiting was the last lesson that God showed Ezekiel in this vision. After Ezekiel was taken through all the dealings and all the trainings and all the perfectings in the vision, he then was considered ready. Then God had him to sit and wait, that he might know that it was not going to be the work of a trained man, but rather a work of the Holy Spirit. The late Jack Cole couldn't preach a good sermon or sing a solo, but he had a tremendous faith and anointing for healing. One time, the late Reverend Fred Poole of Philadelphia invited Jack Cole to his city. He rented a large auditorium for a citywide evangelistic crusade. The first night, the building was filled with several thousand people, and Jack Cole got up to speak. But first, he spent an hour taking up offering for an orphanage, another for a Bible school, then again a third offering. Then he took another hour selling books. Pastor Fred Poole sat there getting more angry as the minutes dragged on. He was furious at what was taking place in this service. Fred confided to me later, "I was so angry. I said to God, 'God, why did I ever bring this man here? I'm sorry. I repent for ever doing so. And God, this will be the last night. We'll close everything down. I'm never going to do this again.'" All of a sudden, the strong hand of God rested upon Jack Cole, and the anointing began to move in healing, delivering power. And Reverend Poole saw outstanding miracles of God happen before his eyes. Immediately, he said, "I started to repent. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I was angry and spoke against your servant. I'll never speak against him again. Please forgive me." And that night, he saw a large number of miraculous works by the hand of God, works he knew were not the works of man or deception or trickery or some hoax, because he personally knew many of the people that were healed, and their healings were manifest to all and very real. The next night, however, it was the same format all over again. Reverend Cole took an hour for his offerings and an hour for his books, and Fred Poole went through the same process of anger and shame for having brought Jack Cole to Philadelphia. Then the anointing came. God began to move, and he saw God straighten out limbs and open blind eyes. He saw the things God was doing, and again Reverend Poole began to repent. "God, I'm sorry I spoke against your servant." Reverend Poole said, "At last I understood. Jack Cole was just waiting for the anointing to come from God. He could not do anything without that anointing of the Holy Spirit. He was helpless without it, and he knew it. He could not preach acceptably, or sing, or teach. But when that anointing came, as is written of King Saul, he was changed into another man. Under that anointing, he was like a roaring lion charging against the devil, and the devil had to retreat before him. It was for that anointing that Jack Cole waited on God by taking up offerings for this mission or for that good work or anything he could do to fill up the time until the Spirit of God came upon him and the hand of the Lord was heavy upon him."